Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today, we talk brainstorms with UX designer Brian. Let's go. First question. You thought you'd see everyone's idea in the team brainstorm, but you've got a grand total of one. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board, right? Because in Miro, the team can add ideas now or later. And with Privacy Mode, we can keep them anonymous until they're good to share.
Correct. Next, you need the best way to explain your idea, but all you have is a few sticky notes. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board, because, you know, in Miro, I could record videos, add text, images, links, and digital sticky notes, of course. Present my thoughts the way I want.
Right again! Now, you're looking for a past idea you thought was just genius. Only you could find... Oh, there it is! Drawing Board or...
Miro! All our finished and unfinished work lives in one place.
And he's won.
Join over 60 million people getting ideas noticed in Miro Brainstorms. Get your first three boards for free at Miro.com. That's M-I-R-O.com.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Every team, every topic, everywhere, this is Believe.
I mean, here's a guy that criticizes everybody, whoever they take. He's got the answers to who you should take and who you shouldn't take. And all of a sudden, he's an expert. He's in our paper 2 days ago telling us who we have to take.
Welcome back to The First Team. I'm Joe DeLeon, and with me is my good friend and NFL draft analyst Ryan Roberts. We're doing yet another team preview before the 2024 NFL draft. Now it is the Tennessee Titans, who hold the 7th overall pick in the draft. They're trying to get a really strong foundation with a new head coach, with a young quarterback in Will Levis, in order for them to succeed in the AFC South in 2024. Now, Ryan, right now they hold pick 7 in the first round, as I mentioned, pick 6, which is number 38 in the second round, number 106 in the fourth round, number 146 in the fifth, 182 in the sixth, 227 in the seventh, 242 in the seventh, and then lastly, 252 in the seventh round. So no third rounder, a lot of day 3 picks. I don't know where that third rounder went off the top of my head, where that could have possibly... had gone.
LeJarius Sneed. They traded for LeJarius Sneed.
I think you're correct. Yeah. These damn team websites that list out these picks should put, hey, we traded this pick for this player. So then we can have a little bit more context when we're trying to talk about and dissect some of these teams in their preparations. And as I mentioned, Ryan, they're going to want to put themselves in a spot where Will Levis can have a really hot start to the year and he doesn't turn into Drew Locke and he can actually take a step forward. I feel like the most obvious answer for what they need to draft, because the rest of the roster is actually not that bad. It's a pretty quality roster, is they need to bolster the offensive line and they need to find some tight ends.
I mean, specifically, we don't even say offensive line. Specifically speaking, Joe, they need offensive tackles, right? They need offensive tackles. You have Lloyd Cushenberry, who signed to a free agency contract. You have Peter Skoronski playing left guard already. Right now, the projected starters at offensive tackle for the Tennessee Titans are Nicholas Petit-Frere and Dylan Radins at right tackle. Those are your projected starters at tackle, and those guys haven't done anything over the course of their first couple years in the NFL to give you optimism that they're able to be those starting caliber players. And then even after that, though, I like Jalen Duncan as a developmental player, but is he ready in 2024 to be a starting offensive tackle in the NFL? Probably not. John Ojukwu, who was out of Boise State a couple years ago, he is the projected backup at right tackle right now. So not only is there not clear starters on this roster, don't have a lot of positive depth, right? This is a situation where you might have to double dip at offensive tackle. I'm not saying that you have to get your starting offensive tackles like the Seattle Seahawks did a couple years ago when they drafted Charles Cross. And then what's the kid's name that came out of Washington State that's starting right tackle now? Jackson, last name Jackson, I think. Someone help me here.
Wait, come on, help me.
I'm looking. Help me. I'm stalling. No dead air on the air, man. No dead air.
Oh my God, what was that kid's name? We're supposed to remember these things. Wait, I'm pulling it up. Charles Cross and Abraham Lucas.
Abraham Lucas. I almost said Alaric Jackson, but obviously he's the Iowa kid that starts for the Rams now. Abraham Lucas. So the Seattle Seahawks a couple years ago double dipped early on, got their two starting offensive tackles for the foreseeable future. I don't necessarily think that Tennessee is going to go that route, but they need to for sure get a left tackle in this class. I just don't think you can depend on Nicholas Petit-Frere to be the blindside protector for Will Levis in 2024. You need to find the guy. It is the most poorly hidden secret that number seven is going to be an offensive tackle. Like, there's no doubt in anyone's mind that number seven overall selection is going to be an offensive tackle. The question is if they start the run or not, right? Because at that point, they would have the pick of the litter. But, I mean, again, we've talked about the Chargers maybe have it being an offensive tackle play, even though they need a wide receiver desperately. You know, do the New England Patriots opt to take a guy early on in the draft? Do the Cardinals go offensive tackle? Like, there's a lot of variables that happen in front of Tennessee that's going to determine of which offensive tackle they potentially get. But regardless, they need an offensive tackle at one, and they need to get another pass catcher. There's no doubt about it. Tight ends, we've talked about, obviously. I would even say with DeAndre Hopkins aging, I wouldn't be shocked if somewhere in the first couple rounds, if they don't target another wide receiver just to get a kind of a younger gun to go along with Calvin Ridley and to be kind of the heir apparent to DeAndre Hopkins, who's aging a little bit. So, I mean, those are two spots that I think are paramount for this team moving forward.
So I think that the massive contract that they handed out to Calvin Ridley for me kind of signals, because before a while ago at the beginning of this draft cycle, we talked receiver and tackle synonymously with one another. And I remember I projected Brock Bowers in one of my mock drafts, and that got pushback. You know, that got pretty big pushback from some Titan fans in the comments on my tweet when I posted it. And, you know, now here we are. It feels like Brock Bowers is more in play because they spent the money on Calvin Ridley. I think that Brock Bowers is at least worth having a conversation on, depending on how highly you value him on your board.
Sure.
But as you mentioned here, now that the receiver's been figured out, it feels like seven has to be an offensive tackle. They have to figure out what their tackle spots are. I think to your point about double dipping, I don't know if it's realistically smart for them to do that because this isn't a team that has a plethora of day two picks. They've got one pick, and it's not until, actually, it is the 38th overall pick, and then they don't pick again until 106.
Yep.
So maybe you can trade back and pick up some extra picks, but that is extremely optimistic that if they do that at seven or they do that at pick 38. But with all this in mind, I mean, I really love the idea of Taliesi Fuaga playing right tackle as the seventh overall pick. If Joe Alt's still on the board, obviously you run to the podium with Joe Alt. I just don't know if he's going to be there. I just don't know if Joe Alt is necessarily going to be there. But Taliesi Fuaga comes to mind immediately. I think of the potential of maybe Amarius Mims even being in play here and on the table for them to take.
Right.
And then another guy that we've obviously spoken about, if there is an earlier run on tackles, maybe they miss out on some of these guys, which is unrealistic. Yeah. But Olufoshanu from Penn State is always a name to know.
Yeah. No, I would say that there could be a situation where you have your pick of the litter at offensive tackle. And it comes down to strictly at that point, who do you value most, right? And because I do think there's a chance that Alt's gone, but there's also a chance that he's still there. I mean, because Joe, I mean, I look at this class and I say, like, you know, depending on what the movement is up top, I mean, we're probably going to see four quarterbacks drafted in the top six overall selections. And then the Los Angeles Chargers have put themselves in a situation where, like, they need to go wide receiver. They need to go wide receiver. The Arizona Cardinals could be a team that go wide receiver. The New York Giants are obviously the major question mark, right? Like, do they take a tackle and kind of reset things with Evan Neal, move him inside, or are you okay with him because you got a little bit of insurance, you know, this offseason? I'm a little curious to see because I think the Giants kind of are going to potentially ruin plans for the Tennessee Titans. Like, I could see a situation where it's like Joe Alt makes it to six, right? And the Tennessee Titans fans are kind of like, in the war room are kind of like, oh man, we got a shot at the number one offensive tackle on the board right here at seven. And then the New York Giants decide to take him, you know, to play him at right tackle potentially, and then shuffle around the offense line. I don't know what that formula is necessarily going to look like, but regardless, you need to get a high caliber offensive tackle in the first round. You need to. Number seven overall is going to be fascinating because if Joe Walt's there, I think it's a no-brainer. Like, left tackle is still more important than right tackle. I think that the disparity between how important left tackle versus right tackle is diminishing a little bit. I mean, both tackle spots, you need a guy nowadays. But I still think if you have a high caliber blindside protector, that still outweighs. And that's still one of the more important positions in football. And I would, Joe Alt would make a lot of sense. You mentioned Fuanga as a guy out of Oregon State that I think would be a player that would be very interesting. But I would say the ultimate wild card is Amarius Mims. And you mentioned him briefly, but like, Joe, I guarantee there's some offensive line coaches out there. And we have to remember who the new head coach of the Tennessee Titans is, Brian Callahan. Obviously, the Callahans have a very deep history in offensive line play and evaluations, right? It's only going to take one as an offensive line guy to look at a Amarius Mims and be like, dude, what I could get out of that, right? You know, 6'8", incredible length, over 35-inch arms, really athletic, yes, raw, yes, inexperienced, but man, if that kid puts it all together, he could be the best offensive tackle in this class. But regardless, it is going to be the Tennessee Titans' job and obligation to make sure they get an offensive tackle early in this draft, because they obviously have a couple serious holes on Will Levis's blind side, but also his front side. Like, they need guys.
BetOnline remains your top spot for all of your live betting action and contests. NFL, college football, UFC, NHL are all in full swing. BetOnline is your number one source for wagering news, odds, trends, and predictions with both desktop and mobile access at any time. Head to BetOnline today and use promo code BELIEVE, that's BLEAV, for 50% off your first deposit. That is a 50% welcome bonus. BetOnline, where the game starts.
Oh, you ended that sentence very abruptly.
They need guys. They need guys.
So if they do come back around in the second round, yes. I love the thought of someone like Kingsley Somatea from BYU, Tyler Guyton from Oklahoma. I wouldn't count out Roger Rosengarten from Washington.
So you are double dipping. So you are double dipping.
No. All I'm just bringing up names.
More guys. And this, more
but
stuff.
I got it. Okay. I also love the idea of them being aggressively in play for somebody like Jatavion Sanders at pick 38. I mean, I think that that's a really great spot to take him. I think that you could take advantage of some teams maybe trying to feel out the tight end situation. And you just, you know, you're in a really good spot early in the second round where you run to the podium, you go get your guy. The rest of this roster is actually like pretty steady.
Can I say one spot that I think could use a little bit of an upgrade? Okay. Right now, you got Legarius Sneed. That secondary looks pretty good on paper. You know, I liked Amani Hooker coming out of Iowa a couple years ago. And they also signed Awuzie this offseason as well, who's a solid starting corner. So, like, the secondary is good. Defensive line is really good, too, as far as the interior. I mean, Jeff Simmons and Sebastian Joseph Day, like, it's pretty good. You know, it's definitely a plus starting interior defensive line, especially with Jeffrey Simmons on the inside. I would say, for me, the second level does need a little bit of retooling, right? So we can quantify that as saying inside linebacker, because right now your starting inside linebackers are projected of Jack Gibbons, former College Gridiron Showcase player, Jack Gibbons, by the way, or Kenneth Murray is the other guy who's been a bust, you know, for the Los Angeles Chargers previously. So I think you could upgrade linebacker. And the other spot, though, that I think is a sneaky need is that Harold Landry is one of the better pass rushers in the NFL. But who's his counterpart right now, Joe? Right now, according to our lads, the projected outside pass rusher on the other side is Arden Key, right? So they need a...
He graded pretty well on PFF, by the way.
Stop with really the PFF weird. Stuff, man. Please stop with the PFF stuff. Arden
when
Key...
When was the last time you watched and broke down Arden Key's film?
What was his stat line from last year, Joe? What do you have, like 4 sacks, 5 sacks?
Oh, I don't know.
Grades. Okay, cool, man.
Well, that's what I have pulled. PFF is a really good tool where you go to a team and you hit lineup and it literally... Instead of looking at a depth chart where it's all freaking linear, I can actually look at what the lineup looks like. But I agree with you that Arden Key isn't exactly a guy that you want to invest in as the long-term starting solution. He might have played a little bit better last year, but that is not the solution.
He should be a rotational player in your edge group. Yes.
So that is another player to keep an eye on. But I part of me wonders, where do you really address that? You might have to wait until day three. And if we were to throw out some day three names that could be in play there, Chop Robinson is somebody who
won't be there
the consensus
three.
Is he won't be there. Right. I don't think he will be, yep. But say he slides, it's possible. Mm-hmm. We've been big fans of Jalix Hunt from Houston Christian, a developmental player, yes. Who doesn't need to step right in because you've already got two starters. Mm-hmm. Adiz Isaac is somebody I think you could pay attention to.
Possible.
Man, this edge class just really freaking thins out after that like 10th guy. Because like, yeah. Jonah Ellis is fine and Gabriel Murphy's fine. And
did you see Jonah Ellis' testing Solomon. Yesterday? Did you see his testing yesterday, man? It was pretty bonkers.
Was it good?
He didn't run a 40, but he had crazy explosives. And then his three cone and his short shutter were fantastic. Like three cone was stupid good. It was like 6.667 or something like that. It was a wild number. So I don't know, we'll see. I mean, but I would say like he would be a very intriguing option on day three, Jonah Ellis, because he is probably one of the easier, well, I don't say easier, he's one of the more proficient designated pass rushers on day three, right? Like you're probably not going to get a high volume of him, especially on rundowns. But for a Tennessee Titan team that maybe just needs a guy, because even if you start Arden Key, but then you have someone that is a little bit more of a pass rush upside guy that you can throw in there on obvious passing situations and then maybe even reduce Arden Key down on the inside at times, I think that's an interesting proposition, right? So I think you need to find a pass rusher at some point in this draft. It doesn't have to be a guy that's going to come in and immediately be a dude for you, but I think he needs to come in and be able to give you some opportunities on pass rush down.
Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today, we talk brainstorms with UX designer Brian. Let's go. First question. You thought you'd see everyone's idea in the team brainstorm, but you've got a grand total of one. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board, right? Because in Miro, the team can add ideas now or later. And with Privacy Mode, we can keep them anonymous until they're good to share.
Correct. Next, you need the best way to explain your idea, but all you have is a few sticky notes. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board, because, you know, in Miro, I could record videos, add text, images, links, and digital sticky notes, of course, present my thoughts the way I want.
Right again! Now, you're looking for a past idea you thought was just genius. Only you could find... Oh, there it is. Drawing Board or...
Miro. All our finished and unfinished work lives in one place.
And he's won.
Join over 60 million people getting ideas noticed in Miro Brainstorms. Get your first three boards for free at Miro.com. That's Miro.com.
I will throw this out there. There's a lot of teams that we've done for these, and depending on how many we get through, that we're going to sit and say their needs align perfectly with the strengths in the draft. And I think the Titans are one of the few ones where that is not the case. Yes, they will be able to address tackle because there's a lot of early tackle talent. There's also good talent on day two for them to maybe find two guys. Mm-hmm. But we talked about linebacker. Mm-hmm. There's not really a lot of linebacker options for them.
No.
Tight end. Outside of Jatavion Sanders, it's a bit of a dart throw, and you're going to have to wait until the fourth round if you don't take a guy in the beginning of the second, and then it becomes an even bigger dart throw. And then you mentioned we're talking about edge right here. It really, really gets kind of scary looking at some of these edge options. And I know that some people like Marshawn Nealand and Mo Camara as options from smaller programs, but those guys aren't going to be highly productive impactful long-term starters. They're going to be more rotational depth pieces. So their needs, they need to be really strategic and careful in their approach. Otherwise, they're going to be chasing certain positions of need and nothing you never want to overdraft a position of need. Right. But the worst thing for me that I've seen in the past with some teams is when you don't address any of your needs and you just go best available because you keep missing out on guys that you want. So you don't want to be that team if you're the Tennessee Titans.
Sure. Well, I would say that you already mentioned Jalix Hunt from Houston Christian as a developmental day three pass rusher. I actually gave them in my mock draft over College Sports where I gave them two pass rushers on day three, one in the fourth. That was Jalix Hunt. I will give you credits, and this doesn't happen very often. You were very early on Jalix Hunt compared to what You were very early on Jalix Hunt compared to the media early. Perspective, okay? That kid has special traits. He could be a legit, like, year one stash, year two, year three breakout type of kid. Like, he could be that guy. potentially. Like, I would not be shocked if he's like a, I'm not comparing his play style to Danielle Hunter, because Danielle Hunter is very different body type and everything. But yeah. I could see, because Danielle Hunter was stashed for a year, basically, barely played. And then year two, year three, it's like, oh, who the heck is this kid, right? Because he was barely productive at LSU. I could see something like that being like Jaleek's Hunt, where it's like year two, he has 10 sacks. And you're like, how the heck did that happen? Former Cornell safety, Houston Christian pass rusher. How did that happen? So he's a guy. The other guy, Joe, seventh round. I gave him Eric Watts from UConn as a big-bodied, strong-side defensive end, a length for days, super raw, needs technical refinement. But I think if you were going to take a couple dart throws on day three for pass rushers, I'm going to bet on traits. You know, I always do bet on traits at that position, and I think those are a couple guys that may be intriguing down the board for a team like the Tennessee Titans.
Titans are going to want to find a way to win early in the AFC South in 2024. Let us know in the comments if you agree with some of the names that we've thrown out there, if you think we missed a position of need, whatever it might be. Let us know. Hit the like button, share with your friends, and then also leave us a 5-star review if you're tuning in on podcast form. Enjoy the rest of your week, folks. We'll be back with more.
Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today, we talk brainstorms with UX designer Brian. Let's go. First question. You thought you'd see everyone's idea in the team brainstorm, but you've got a grand total of one. Drawing board or Miro board?
Drawing board, right? Because in Miro, the team can add ideas now or later. And with privacy mode, we can keep them anonymous until they're good to share.
Correct. Next, you need the best way to explain your idea, but all you have is a few sticky notes. Drawing board or Miro board?
Drawing board, because, you know, in Miro, I could record videos, add text, images, links, and digital sticky notes, of course. Present my thoughts the way I want.
Right again. Now, you're looking for a past idea you thought was just genius. Only you could find... Oh, there it is. Drawing board or...
Miro. Our finished and unfinished work lives in one place.
And he's won.
Join over 60 million people getting ideas noticed in Miro brainstorms. Get your first three boards for free at Miro.com. That's M-I-R-O.com.